99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And we go to Hell's Endorser with Back of the Book. Dun, dun. Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm willing to bet that it's about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All Are the Crazy People Getting the Upper Hand? Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and some of it you can find out more about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen, and at the top of that, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. We do a new web page for every program, and yeah, we don't always get them finished in a very timely way, but then we go back and we fill in what we didn't put in, and I'm going to be doing that. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 110th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in the entire multiverse for this past week is that we are still holding at the extremely high figure of 126 followers on Twitter. And I'm sure you've all been reading detailed analyses of these in the newspapers around the world. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, October 12th at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Even though Zoom compromises privacy and security, you can go up to kpftx.org and you can see all the information about being able to listen in on the WBAI local station board meeting, which is this Wednesday at 7 p.m. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 620,861,865 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,555,901. In America, The number of cases as of Friday was 96,662,961, and the death toll in America was 1,062,420. So, 2,899 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. On our last program, it had appeared that the death toll had doubled against the previous week. But I apparently fouled that up and gave a bad number there, and I just fouled that up one way or another. I'm sorry for the error, and I'll try not to screw up too much more. This week's numbers are okay. And the pandemic is not over, no matter what Joe Biden or other people are saying. But a lot of people are behaving as if it were. Keep your masks on. I got my flu shot a couple of weeks ago. I'd planned on getting the new BA4 and BA5 booster this past Tuesday, but with the big rainstorm, our ceiling started to leak. We didn't want to go off for hours and hours with the ceiling leaking because, you know, oh boy, that could be a mess. It's leaking right over my chess library, which I don't do much with anymore, but hey, you know, I don't want my chess library destroyed by a leaky roof. So we ended up having to cancel our trip to the VA hospital, and we've got to do that again. At some point, we're going to have to go in there and get me shot up. Yeah, I still need to get my shot. Pickles of the North has been thoroughly inoculated for weeks now, so good for her. And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of the figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable.
And speaking of prevention, I wish that the city was paying more attention to preventing more COVID cases. They are not running any of the vaccination buses that they had going earlier this year. They've decided, well, you know, you can go get a shot at one of the city hospitals or a pharmacy, and that's about it. And that stinks, because the more convenient you make it for people, the easier it is for them to go get their shot.
And the more likely they are to get one.
Yes, yes. And apparently New York City does not have the greatest numbers of people getting even two boosters, or rather their first shot, their booster shot, let alone, what are we up to now, five shots?
Yeah.
In fact, even though the numbers are still low in most of the boroughs, Staten Island is up to medium, and pretty soon it will be high, which means transmission is happening at a greater rate because people aren't wearing their masks and people are not getting the new booster, which helps to protect you against Omicron, which is the BA4 and BA5, which is really, really easy to catch. In fact, I read in the Washington Post in an article on Friday that said only 4% of the U.S. population, that's the U.S. population, has gotten the new bivalent, they call it, booster, which is about 11 million people out of what? What's the population?
Like 360?
Yeah. So.
Holy hell.
And the numbers are already going up in the U.K., more and more people are getting sick there. So this is going to happen. The cold weather comes. People go indoors. They're not wearing masks. They're not getting the new booster.
It's a recipe for things going sideways. On Stephen Colbert's show this past week, he had Dr. Anthony Fauci on there. And they had a little comical thing of where they filmed them going down to a local pharmacy and Fauci getting his shot because he'd had COVID-19. About 3 months ago, and the recommendation is you don't get the shot until about 3 months after you've had COVID-19. So Fauci got his on TV, and millions of people got to see him getting it. We got to hope that this motivates people to get theirs. That would be a smart idea. And Fauci is saying, yeah, well, he's seeing stuff similar to what we're saying, that we're not really out of it, that we have to watch out because in the winter, with people going indoors a lot more and a lot less ventilation, that you're going to end up as always, with germs spreading. This happens with the flu. And so it's probably going to happen with COVID-19. And he's saying that, yeah, we got to watch out and we got to be prepared for the fact that the winter is going to come up and we don't know what's going to happen. There could be a winter surge. How bad might that be? Well, who the hell knows?
And the other reason there hasn't been a big push to tell everyone to get the new vaccine is because the Senate vetoed more COVID spending. So thanks a lot, Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, what number of people is it acceptable to have keep dying from this? Especially when there are ways to prevent people from getting it in the first place. I mean, really, this is awful. So you know what? I'm going to try and find out if pharmacies let people just walk in and get the shot, because I know some people, it's difficult for them to make an appointment. I'll let you know what I find out, but try and get your shot. As far as I can tell, it still does not cost anything. I hope that's true. I hope it's not just that people who have insurance, you know, it doesn't cost them anything. But I think in New York City, you still can just go and get it. It's not going to cost you anything. And I'll let you know what I find out about the walk-ins, and try and get your shot and keep wearing your mask when you go indoors in a public space.
Okay. Thank you, Pickles of the North. And here's a program note. And it's a program note we tried to put in on the last program, but the last program got too tight and something had to be cut out. So we cut out our program note. But here's the program note now. We were in the process of just getting done editing the program 2 weeks ago. Yes, we actually edit this thing. And I got an email asking me if we were preempted. So I replied, no. And we got the program posted, and then we found out that we had been supposed to be preempted 2 weeks ago for a fundraising special. We didn't know anything about it. We'd looked at the official schedule posted on WBAI.org, and we were scheduled to be on that schedule. But we were sent information as we were finishing the editing process that said we were to be preempted. So we posted the program because, you know, we said, what is this? This can't be real. It took our saddle pal, Maxwell J. Schmid, talking to management about this for that program to be put in the queue for the air. Otherwise, we would have had another situation, which we've had before, where we do a radio program and it doesn't hit the air. We want to thank Maxwell for talking to management and alerting them to the fact that there was a program that was produced for that time slot. And I've posted what we know about our future schedule on my website. So it now looks like we're preempted on October 22nd, November 19th, and December 17th. I have no control over whatever management thinks is going to raise money in this time slot. Some folks have said, geez, it's a live radio program, but it's in the can all the time. No, not in the bathroom. It's pre-recorded. And yeah, as I say, we have these dangerous times and we have to be careful. One, we don't want to get COVID-19. But two, as the pandemic progressed, craziness progressed. And a lot of homeless people, many of whom were kind of off their meds a bit in the first place, went really bonkers. Other people have too, apparently. The driving is insane because people got used to saying, hey, at night, there's nobody on the street and the cops aren't out there. Yeah, there is sort of a kind of clandestine police strike still going on because the police are miffed about the Black Lives Matter demonstrations and being criticized. So there's not a lot of enforcement always going on. Sometimes it goes on. It depends on the situation, but not always. And they certainly aren't doing much about the people who are getting together to drive around like maniacs at night, especially at night, although they do it in the daytime, too. We've seen that. And so, you know, we have people, 50 or 60 people on mopeds, ATVs, and all sorts of things that are not supposed to be on the street, and they're going the wrong way up a street altogether, revving everything, making tons of noise, and then some of them go and they start doing donuts where they swirl the car around in the street, and people hang around watching them. So this craziness going on in a lot of areas, and you have, you know, again, the homeless people. I mentioned them because I'm going to mention them some more in a bit. And you've all the homeless people are, you know, very stressed in the first place. And then with the pandemic, a lot of them went over the edge. And then you've got ordinary people who are not homeless, who are able to afford these stupid bikes and things. And now, driving a motorcycle or something on the sidewalk is acceptable. Holy hell. And you have got people running into others and hurting them or even killing them. More of what you have, of course, is people on these ATVs and these little electric scooters managing to do things like slam into a flatbed truck that's parked. Or ending up under the wheels of something. And, yeah, this is some of what's going on, and it's really bad. There's a lot of craziness out there. There's a lot of it. And, you know, people say, well, you know, as the pandemic is getting less and less, not gone, but less and less, why don't you come back and do a live program? And we're saying, yeah, that would be good, but the dangerousness isn't only the virus at this point in time. It's also the crazy people. And in order to come in and do a radio program that starts at 5 o'clock in the morning, we have to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning. Walk through the streets of Brooklyn, get on a train, and go to downtown Brooklyn, where WBAI is. Then we've got to walk through those streets and get up to BAI. Well, there are plenty of crazy people around, and the subway is especially bad. We've had a thing. One guy stabbed to death. I think it's two guys stabbed to death on the subway by total strangers in the past week, plus various assaults. And then you've got apparently nine women who had done a TikTok video in Times Square. Apparently they were feeling very belligerent, and they were dressed in these green suits, these green, what would you call them? Costumes, green costumes that go from head to toe. And they were sort of dressed to be looking like space aliens. They were neon green space alien costumes. And it is alleged, and there's video of this, it is alleged that they attacked two teenage women on the subway. And apparently it is alleged that on the platform they pushed one and then said, "What are you pushing me for?" That kind of bullying. And then when they got on the train, all of them piled in and beat up these two women. And one of the green-clad ones had a knife with her. And they beat them up and robbed them and then left. And I guess it was all great fun for them. Meanwhile, there were four men on the train, and they just took videos of it and didn't try to intervene or anything. How nice. And so you have that kind of craziness, too. Robbery, you know, the criminals, the just outright not insane criminals are also taking advantage of the fact that there's less law enforcement, and there's also kind of an attitude of things are just so crazy these days, anything goes. And so that's out there. So we also have to take into consideration that we would be these two little old people getting on the train, and Can you think of a more tempting target for either a belligerent crazy person or a mugger or somebody who just wants to beat somebody up than to little old people, just them, on the train at 4 o'clock in the morning? So we take that into consideration, too. And the craziness that's going on is something that is something we have to take into consideration for when and if we're ever going to be able to do live radio again.
Yes, before the pandemic, it was problematic because that time in the morning, people are wandering around out from bars, and that was like a big thing where you'd have like a lot of drunk people getting on the subway, going who knows where, and some of them were just sleeping it off. Some of them were belligerent. You sort of never know what's going to happen at that time of morning, but especially because it is Friday going into Saturday, that's far different than, say, you know, Sunday going into Monday or Tuesday going into Wednesday. But it's still, yeah, it's very different. There's not as many people on the train still. And yes, there's this feeling of anything goes, and it's a lot of bad anything goes. It's not like joyous fun or anything like that. It's not just people, like, you know, doing silly things anymore, like dancing or
take your pants off somewhere.
You know, stuff like that. It's, yeah, there's a tinge of violence, and it makes you feel really unsafe.
Yeah, and of course, doing a light, you know, a late night, overnight program live is always required going out in those times. We used to have a program that went from 1 to 3 in the morning, which meant you could go in a bit earlier, and I think that was less wacky. When we were doing the two-hour program from up in and we had been switched to this format of doing 1 hour at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, we were dehoused by Hurricane Sandy, and at that point, we were going up to CCNY at 137th Street. And so we would have to leave the house at 3 in the morning. And this guaranteed that we were going through Manhattan as the bars closed. And, oh, boy, that was always a problem. And at one point, they stopped running the subways for maintenance or something, so they ran shuttle buses, and that was crazy. One time we were getting on there, and, you know, since we're going up toward the college, some college folks got on, and, well, a young woman who was a as I described her, an underage, overweight jerk, and a drunk, almost took out my leg because she was getting on, she was on the bus. The bus driver decides to take off, and she's unstable. She's staggering about, and she just comes over in whole of her weight right into my knee, and I'm going, "Wah!" So that was one of those things. I don't think I've recovered fully from that, but that's life. That knee has gotten a lot of hits over time. In any event, that was one type of thing, but now I think it's going to be completely different. So, yeah, we don't want to get on the subway at 4 o'clock in the morning, which means maybe we need to rethink what we're doing in terms of the radio program. I don't know. Doing a fully produced program is different from doing live radio at all. And we try to make this pre-recorded program as close to live radio as we can manage. That doesn't always work out so well sometimes, but the thing is we try that. But I guess maybe we need to think of doing something else. My philosophy and what I've learned over the years of doing live late night overnight radio is that those of you who do listen, those very few of you who listen, want to know that there's a pulse at the other end of that microphone. You want to know that we're up with you at these late hours. And that's a part of the draw of an overnight program. That's part of why they're all used to be live. But we're not allowed into, I mean, we're not even allowed into the station. The station still has a lockdown going on. But we also have this thing of we're concerned about running into murderous creeps on the subway. And that would be very, very bad. So I don't know. We got to think about how we're doing this. And I think that a totally produced program, which you get on some the air sometimes, a totally produced program, which is intended to be a totally produced program, I don't think that flies overnight. At least that was the experience we had, I had, back in the early days of doing Back of the Book from 1 to 3 a.m. on a Monday morning.
It's interesting how much safer the train felt when you're going out like at midnight than going out at 4 in the morning. I mean, and it's that was Sunday into Monday, right?
Yeah.
It just felt so much safer. For one thing, you were there with a lot of people who were doing shift work, and they were either coming off their shift or going on to their shift, and it was just completely, I never felt like maybe I should have any sense of uh-oh, you know. It was like, oh. And there were more people on. I mean, it's difficult to know when more people will be taking the train again at any hour of the day, because I think, what are we up to now? Is it 60% of the ridership? I don't know. Maybe it's more than that, but still there's a significant number of people who just aren't taking public transportation anymore. Now, some of them are able to work from home, and I understand that. But where are the other people? I mean, how are they getting to work?
Well, a lot of it is remote working. So,
yeah, well, there are many jobs where you can't do that.
Yeah.
And the feeling on the bus is different, too. But I think, oh, my God, that would take so long to take a bus. Well, would it now? It would take longer.
It would take
significantly longer.
Yeah.
Because we have taken the bus. We've taken it when there was track work, and we've taken the bus in. And that was sort of an interesting, again, this was pre-pandemic,
An
interesting ride, because there's sort of like the romance of riding around in Brooklyn at night.
Oh, yeah, the romance of that, sure.
Well, for me, it felt like that. When I felt okay on the bus, and it was just, you know, just folks on the bus, you know, and the bus driver lets you off at that time. If you just want to, you don't have to go to a stop. They can, you know, if you want to get off at right near your house, and it's along the route, they'll just let you off. So that's a really good thing, which they do. Any overnight buses still do that. But I don't know. I think there is the romance for the bus. Some of the most fun times I've had with you has been when we were taking the bus home.
Oh, well.
And that was just fun.
And sometimes quite the adventure, like the time we didn't know they were having a 5K run, and we say, let's take this particular bus since it has a more roundabout route and it's fun to look at. And it turned out that the route this bus took was the route the 5K run took. So it was shut off. And we ended up elsewhere in Brooklyn, and we're on a bus, and we're looking down the street in front of the bus through the bus's windshield, and there must have been 10 other buses of various sorts, many of which didn't go on this particular route. And we were not on a route that this bus generally went on. We were supposed to have made a left turn. We didn't make a left turn. We kept on going through all of this. And Jesus H. Christ, that was quite the time. I think it took us 3 hours to get home.
Yes, we sat there for a very long time. Oh, that makes me think of what happened just the other day
when we
were going to the VA. The VA hospital. I think that's when you got your flu shot, I think.
During that one.
Oh my gosh, we're on the bus and we're going along and da da da. And all of a sudden, the bus driver says, There's some kind of...
No, he said nothing. What did he say? He said nothing at all.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He just suddenly hung a right and was saying, wait, this isn't the bus route. We know the bus route very well. And he's going, you know, away. He starts heading north. And so we're sitting there, and this one woman, after he goes like two or three long blocks, says, driver, what's happening? And he says, there's construction over
there.
That's
right.
Can't get through. It's blocked. Wait a minute. All this other traffic is here, and is traffic coming from that direction? There has to be traffic going through there. Yeah.
And he's talking on his cell phone the whole time. The whole time. At first, we thought perhaps it was another passenger that was talking. But no, he had both his hands on the wheel, but he was yapping on his cell phone. And we kept going and going. And our boss saying, well, at some point, we've got to turn this way. And it was like, we kept going. He almost turned one way. And then I guess he realized that the last moment, that wouldn't get him to where he wanted to go to get back on the route.
Actually, he could have turned off before he did. A number of times and gotten back on the route, although he wouldn't have, you know, been in the right place. But he could have done that. But he after a while, he did hang a left.
It was very apparent that he did not know how to get back.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't sure where he was. He might have been on the phone talking to a pal about that. I'm not sure. And so eventually we saw a bus that we also take. And we said, let's do the connection here. We said, would you let us off here? We got off the bus and managed to get to the VA hospital.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was bizarre in the extreme.
But didn't you feel good when we got on the other bus and we knew where we were going?
Well, no, because it was making us late.
Well, that's true, but we ended up not being late. So then, silver lining.
The Ukrainian army continues to reclaim Ukrainian territory that had been invaded and occupied by Russia. Putin and his rubber stamp parliament formally declared parts of Ukraine to be Russia this past week. And in this past week, I have noticed other media outlets, not just me anymore, speculating that having named those parts of Ukraine to be Russia, that his threat that an attack on Russia would be met with nuclear weapons might be in play now, so that he could say, well, you're attacking Russia. Yeah, so I've said that, and now I've heard some others say, geez, we wonder, yeah, is he going to do that? And, you know, this is more craziness, right? Jesus Christ. Anyway, there is a comical side note on this, is that the Russian government has said that they really don't know where the border is on that territory that they're claiming. So they signed this big thing, all sorts of folderol with it, and a big white and golden desk for Putin to sign it, and those guards they have around with those rather ridiculous-looking hats on, and he's got them around for window dressing, and all of that, and they don't really know where the borders are. Of course, it might be that saying that is a way of avoiding the embarrassment of having the Ukrainian army take those parts they've just claimed back. That would be embarrassing, you know? This is Russia. Well, they just took that part of Russia. And if they can't say where Russia begins and ends, they don't have to worry about following through on their threat to nuke anyone. Still, that threat is there, and Putin may very well be mentally unstable enough right now that, oh boy, we may need to duck and cover. I hope not. We may need to. Jesus Christ. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at WBAI.org. And I think it's worth noting that this past week, President Biden has noted that this is a point in history that is very similar to a point in history 60 years ago, October 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis. There were threats of nuclear weapons then. Oh, boy. So, yeah, we're sort of in a thing that's not too different from that. And is it possible that Putin may decide, you know, hey, let's see, maybe Cuba or Venezuela would like to host our nuclear weapons down there. Maybe he wants to try and relive it. And, you know, he wants the Soviet Union to come back. Maybe he wants to have the Soviet Union not back down this time. Who knows? That could happen, too.
Except back in 1962, and I was just a little kid, so I did not realize any of this was going on. But they had big bombs to drop. This time, would there be, like, would they use tactical nukes?
If they do nuke anything in Ukraine, they're probably going to use tactical nukes. Probably. You don't know. They might decide to just drop a 20-megatonner on top of Kyiv. Who knows? But if they were sending nuclear weapons to Cuba or Venezuela, no, they would have continent killers in there.
Then this could be the start of the final world war.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. And a lot of it because of a dictator's ego. There's a right-wing politician named Deanna Lorraine from California. She apparently posts her wisdom to the web a lot. She ran for Congress in an effort to unseat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in 2020. Ms. Lorraine got about 1.8% of the vote in that race. On her web program, Ms. Lorraine said that regarding Hurricane Ian, which, of course, we all know blasted Puerto Rico, Florida, and South Carolina in the past week or so, she said, quote, "We understand that the deep state, they have weather manipulation technology. They know how to manipulate and create big storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, climate change, etc." Unquote. Well, at least she's acknowledging that there is climate change, unlike a lot of the other right-wing dopes. Ms. Lorraine went on to say that hurricanes have a bias against Republican states and happen, quote, "always at a convenient time," unquote. She also speculated that the state of Florida, which has had big storms since it rose out of the sea millions of years ago, probably, certainly for as long as we've had the United States of America, Florida has been getting hit with hurricanes and stuff. It's just where it is. Anyway, she's saying that Florida is being targeted by the deep state's weather machines to punish Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. She was joined on this wacky conspiracy hoax exposition by fellow right-winger Lauren Witzke, who had been the Delaware Republican Party's candidate for Senate from that state in 2020. Yeah, Ms. Witzke did not win her race either. Ms. Witzke, who describes herself as a Christian nationalist, jumped right into the deep end of the crazy pool and said, "Well, we know the technology does exist. They are literally trying to change people's DNA through vaccination," unquote. Yeah, they've got all these. They've got the whole stack of issues. They don't like vaccination, and, you know, oh, I wonder if I shouldn't wish something on them. I shouldn't. I'm thinking it. So I'm wondering, do they think that the weather machines also vaccinate people? I mean, that would be useful if we could get weather machines and, you know, you go outside and it's thunderstorm comes up and bang, you're vaccinated. That would be very helpful, but oh well. Ms. Witski said that another motivation for attacking Florida with those weather machines was because Florida was, quote, getting rid of vaccination mandates or getting rid of child grooming, unquote. And then she continued, quote, but you're not supposed to know about that because that's controversial or a conspiracy theory. No, it's true, unquote. So these two are saying that there is climate change, I guess sort of saying it, probably saying it and denying it at the same moment. They say it's being caused by the weather machines of the other political party. So is this position that the deep state is using weather machines to create climate change, is that an improvement on the other Republicans who totally deny that there's a climate crisis? I wonder about that particular thing.
So we're at this terrifying inflection point in history where the possibility of nuclear confrontation is higher than it has been for some time. We have actual climate change happening, which affects the entire world right now. And these yutzes are saying these things, and they are trying to become members of the government, and people of their ilk are already members of the government. Can I say we are screwed on the air?
Yeah, I think so.
We are so screwed in a way. God.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. Why does it happen?
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
Speaking of this kind of strange business with the Republicans, President Biden said, quote, I didn't know there were that many socialist Republicans. I was surprised to see so many socialists in the Republican caucus, unquote. He said that in Maryland after CNN reported about Republicans calling the infrastructure bill socialism and then asking for the money. Oh, man. Well, nobody said they weren't hypocrites. And a quick update here. We talked about NASA blasting away at Dimorphos with the DART. That seems to have gone off very well. The Hubble Space Telescope and the Next Generation Space Telescope, which is named after a homophobe, the two of them have been training their rather tremendous eyes on Dimorphos and Didymos, which is the main asteroid. And, of course, the idea was that by changing the orbit of Dimorphos, which is the satellite of Didymos, that they would then change the course, the trajectory, of the bigger asteroid. Well, we don't know yet, but these two big eyes are looking, and they're showing a sort of comet-like tail coming out of it because the DART device hit it. And, of course, things, when you hit something like that, especially in a vacuum, you blast a crater. And on the Earth, when you blast a crater, stuff does go up in the air, but then it's in the air and it comes down. On this tiny thing, there's not enough gravity to make the ejecta, as it's called, fall back down. So it goes flying out in space because it's been hit with a lot of force. And so they're still looking at that, and they're trying to figure out what exactly effect it's going to have. They will not know this for weeks yet. They're taking a lot of simultaneous images with Hubble and the Next Generation Space Telescopes. Hubble sees invisible light. Next Generation sees an infrared light, which can tell you some other things. And among other things, it's also going to tell us probably what the composition is. Is this a solid rock with some crap on it? Or is this what's referred to as a rubble pile asteroid? In which case, we're kind of lucky that the DART didn't go right through it. Because if it's a rubble pile, it's just loose pieces of junk that are held together by gravity, which with an object this small, the gravity isn't that strong. The only reason it would hold everything together is because they've had billions, literally billions of years to just come together. This is all very important to find out because we don't want a big asteroid smacking us and making us follow the dinosaurs into the end of history.
Oh, maybe it'll hit the weather machines and knock them out of orbit.
I don't know if they're in orbit. I have to say, with the weather machines, the right wing isn't the only one that talks about this. Some years ago, we had people on BAI talking very seriously about the Israeli weather machines on ships in the Caribbean that were attacking various places for bad reasons. So, you know, it's not just one bunch of people who comes up with wacky crap. Oh, boy. It's time for pitching. Yes. Yes, here comes the pitching train. It's coming round, not the bend, but the edge of a radio program, and we're begging you for bucks. Yes, this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, WBAI New York, and we are, in fact, listener-sponsored. It's not just a slogan, it's real. We get our money from you, overwhelmingly. Like, these days, I think we get 99% or more of our money from you. And so what that means is we have to go on the air and ask you to support this radio station. And what we do is what you hear me doing right now. We say, please, please call 1-212-209-2950 and say, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And that will help to keep this station funded. We have tower rent that we have to pay, which is like $16,000 and change a month. We've got, $5,300 a month for the studios, which we don't have a whole population up there anymore, but we still pay $5,300 a month for it. And we have a lot of other bills. We have to, there are bills. You can guess there are bills. So, and of course, there are people who get paid. We don't get paid. Pickles of the North and I do not get paid for doing this. So what happens is we need to ask you to pony up and support WBAI. If WBAI is worth something to you, if this radio program is worth it to you, we're asking you to please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Now, a BAI buddy is the fanciful name management has given becoming a sustaining member. And you become a sustaining member, which means that every month you will be donating a certain amount of money to WBAI. And when you call up 1-212-209-2950, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And at that time, you also tell them how much you want to pay per month, how much you want to donate per month. So what you do then is you can choose $5, $10, $15, $20, more if you like, but I think the $5 to $20 range per month is what most of our listeners can do. And you also tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. And for this thing, what you do is you have a credit card or a debit card, and you tell them what day of the month you would like to be charged. And that way it's more convenient for you. You don't have a thing of where, oh, geez, they took it out on a bad day and it causes a problem. You figure out what day you want it done, and they'll do it. 1-212-209-2950. That's the number we need you to call. 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we talk about various things in this program, and yeah, we really are kind of reevaluating what the hell we're doing on this program, since we don't know if we're coming back live. Of course, we don't know if we're coming back. If people don't pledge enough, we're not here. If people don't pledge enough, there's no here. There's no BAI if people don't pledge. 1-212-209-2950. By the way, if you want to do a one-time donation, you can do that too. Same number, 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to donate some lump sum in the name of Back of the Book to WBAI. But management wants us to push the BAI Buddies. The reason for that is that BAI Buddies make it so that management has this steady revenue stream that they can count on for paying the bills, as opposed to the drips and drabs of, is anything going to come in this week from donations? It's dicey that way. So this does help to be a BAI buddy. By the way, if you become a BAI buddy, you get that snazzy and oh so very fashionable tote bag, a WBAI tote bag. You can carry that around and people will throw rocks at you. No, they won't. No, they won't. And you can carry that around and say, hey, look, I listen to BAI, and people will run. You could probably use it to get a seat in the subway. Just get on a crowded subway train, stand there to see and say, hey, look, I listen to BAI. Oh, they'll give you a seat. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give the call center a call at that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Again, you can choose to donate $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, whatever you want to WBAI. And that will be something that will help us a lot. 1-212-209-2950. We do need to hear from some folks. We do need to hear from folks right about now. And if you would please call us at that number, we will be very glad about it. Well, we won't know it right away. But if you do donate, please write to me, rpm@glib.com, rpm@glib.com, and say you donated. You became a BAI buddy or you made a one-time donation, and that way we can tell management, hey, look, we know we've got listeners. Because not only are you going to be supporting WBAI and this radio program, Back of the Book, you're also going to be supporting the overnight radio programs, which chronically don't raise that much money. And so if you can give some money, it will say, yes, these overnight programs, which are kind of different, these overnight programs have listeners and listeners who want to support BAI. 1-212-209-2950. Please, if you can at all, please call that number. Call it now. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And thank you if you do so. That's been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
We'll be back next week. Have a nice, whatever long weekend you may be wanting to have. Name it what you will. We'll be here next week. Until then, remember what that watching out for the violent crazies Dormouse said.
check for Cat Radio Cafe.
Testing.
Testing.
Tune in to Cat Radio Cafe Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
The Displaced Playwright. On Tuesday, October 11th at 9 p.m., we will be joined by the iconic lesbian feminist theater duo Peggy Shaw and Lois Weaver to discuss Last Gasp, a recalibration, their first live post-pandemic, post-lockdown performance.
Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
Cat Radio Cafe.
Hey, do cats drink coffee?
When they run out of beer.
Oh, happy Oktoberfest.
Hmm.
Hello. This is Dr. Michio Kaku, host of Exploration, which reports on the impact of science on society, which is usually heard every Wednesday evening. First of all, Exploration is moving. That's right. From now on, it'll be broadcast on Saturdays at noon. So write that down. Mark that down on your calendar. Our time slot has been moved to Saturdays at noontime. Second, let me emphasize the importance of supporting WBAI with whatever you can afford. One way is to become a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member in the name of Exploration for $10, $15 or more a month by calling 212-209-2950. Now, write that number down. It's 212-209-2950. Now, another way is to go to our website, WBAI.org. Click on to the WBAI button on the upper right-hand corner of the website. So please now, call 212-209-2950 or go to WBAI.org and make that pledge for social change.
Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn!
Tune in to WBAI Playhouse Saturday, 8 p.m. for Natalia Trethewey's Pulitzer Prize winning elegy, Native Guard, followed by an Olivia Award winning play, Mountaintop, by Katori Hall.
God?
It imagines an encounter between Dr. King and a mysterious woman set in the Lorraine Motel in Memphis.
It's, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, yeah. Michael, to you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Is she
black? Mm-hmm. And proud.
That's The Mountaintop, preceded by Native Guard, ma'am. WBAI Playhouse, 8 p.m. Like on listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI New York.
Hey, saludos, familia. This is Jimmy Smith sending you blessings and bendiciones. I wanted to share with you that I have always been a big supporter of non-commercial radio, and I'm going to be asking you to do the same. Please support my longtime amigo, Nando Alberici, and his radio program, Con Sabor Latino, on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM. So on Wednesday, October 12th, there are going to be five fantastic bands performing at SOB's to help WBAI raise some much-needed funds. On stage will be my homeboy, Oscar Hernandez, and the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. We'll have Jimmy Delgado and his orchestra featuring Miguel Orlando. Karen Joseph and Mambo Cha will be with us. Matthew Gonzalez and Quinto Sono and Orquesta Sabor Añejo. I'm sending you a bolo alert. Be on the lookout. All salseros need to be present on October 12th at SOB's. Help us support WBAI because we count on you.